Robert Half research indicates 9 out of 10 hiring managers are having difficulty hiring. If you have open roles, chances are you're feeling this too. That's why you need Robert Half. Our specialized recruiting professionals engage with our proprietary AI to connect businesses of all sizes with highly skilled talent in finance and accounting, technology, marketing and creative, legal and administrative, and customer support. At Robert Half, we know talent. Visit roberthalf.com today. With Fidelity Wealth Management, a dedicated advisor can work with you on a comprehensive plan to help you reach your wealth's full potential. Plus, you'll have access to specialists in estate planning strategies. So you're not just growing and protecting your wealth, you're sharing it. More at fidelity.com/wealth. Investment minimums apply. Fidelity Brokerage Services, LLC, member NYSE, SIPC. Welcome to the Jill on Money Show. It is Sunday, April 21st, and we are here answering financial questions or life questions that have some sort of financial aspect to them. Because, you know, my friend Raul says I should be calling the show Jill on Life, not Jill on Money, because we dive into what's going on in your real lives. We kind of have to do that to figure out some of the goals and the objectives that you have, and the money is just the means to it. So if you're noodling something around, you need some help, give us a holler. Go to jillonmoney.com, click the contact us button, and check the box if you'd like to join us on the air. Don't forget, on the website you can also buy my book. It's The Great Money Reset. It's out in paperback, and that book outlines 10 steps to turn any sort of chaos and transition that's going on in your life into opportunity. So check it out, The Great Money Reset. Right now, let's talk to Mike and Aaron from New York. What brings you to our airwaves? Tell me what's going on, how we can help you out.
Well, I listen to your show, and I like the way you set people straight on their money in such an easy way. I've been working in IT for 28 years and possibly want to retire in a couple of years. So I figure I would reach out to you to see, give me some focus, as I feel I'm all over the place.
It's funny. It's like, we know how to work. We know how to accumulate, right? We know how to save. But then, like, the idea of, like, well, how do I turn the faucet the other way? It's a little bit harder, right? Mike, how old are you?
I'm 53, will be 54 a couple months.
Okay. And Aaron, how old are you?
53.
Okay. You guys have kids?
No kids.
I can't wait to hear how much money you've saved, which is fantastic. Okay. Mike, you've been working in IT for 28 years. What kind of retirement plan do you have right now?
Well, I have a pension that will, with the 100% joint, will give me $3,500 a month.
So we're going to see if you can retire at age 55. So what else do you have saved?
Our net worth is like $3.2 million. We have 2.8 in investments.
Tell me how that breaks down. When you say 2.8 million in investments, what's in retirement and what's in non-retirement?
Okay. We 400,000 cash, 800,000 in company stock.
What?
Yeah.
Dude, what are you doing? You're rolling the dice. Jesus.
I know. What I like about that stock, though, it pays me a nice dividend. And I'm thinking to myself, well, I can use that when I retire as a...
You know. What happens if the stock craters? How are you going to feel about the dividend when the stock goes from 800,000 valuation to 400,000?
Yeah, I know. But if I still get the dividend.
Oh, my God. Yeah, your yield will be higher, but you'll have less money. So let's not fool ourselves. Okay. Sure. I'm not going to ask you what company. 400 in cash, 800 in that stock. What else?
970,000 in my 401k. And of that, 208,000 is in the Roth section.
Okay.
Aaron has 347. She has two 401ks from two previous employees. She doesn't work now. And that totals 347,000.
Are those at the old 401k companies, or are they in an IRA rollover?
They're with the old companies.
Is there any reason why we shouldn't roll those over? That's just because it's a pain in the neck to manage it. But okay, let's keep going. So I've got 400, 800, 970, 347. What else we got?
I have a Vanguard taxable account that has approximately $163,000.
How about a house? Do we have a house?
We have a house that's paid in full, approximately $400,000.
Would you stay in that house upon retirement, or are you feeling like you want to move?
Want to move. We don't like the New York taxes.
Oh, poor you. Where would you go?
We think down south, like Tennessee, but you know what? Talk is cheap.
You're from New York. How are you going to move to Tennessee?
That's what I say. It's like talk is cheap. And you're like, if we go down there, we're going to be like, I don't know anything around here.
Let me tell you something. I'll tell you what you can't get in Tennessee. A good bagel. I'll tell you that right now. Or a good piece of pizza.
Well, we don't eat carbs much, so.
Oh, God.
That's not a huge loss.
Super boring. Okay, fine.
But we would definitely downsize. Let's put it that way.
Okay. How much do you need to live on? Let's just pretend you stay in New York, just for the heck of it. Because then if we use that as the bogey, then I think we'll be able to have you move anywhere. So how much do you need to live on right now?
We spend about, and this is being generous, we spend like $3,500 a month on everything. That's food, that's travel, that's insurance. I mean, we live well below our means.
Wow. 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 Okay. So your pension would cover that. You'll both be able to claim Social Security when that time comes. You can do whatever you want. You're in great shape. How much do you earn right now, Mike?
I earn
like 160.
165 a year.
Okay.
And 20 to 30 of that is a bonus, which half they give me half in company stock.
Uh-huh. And that's how you have accumulated so much company stock, because the bonuses are rewarded and you've just sat on top of it, right?
Exactly. Exactly.
Okay. So here's the thing. I would be remiss. I would be like committing CFP malpractice if I didn't tell you to sell that company stock. Now, you don't have to do it all at once, but a couple of things to remember. Number one, capital gains rates are pretty low right now. It would be nice if you could sell some of this stock along the way and just keep selling a little bit each year, and you can pay your 15% and be done with it. That's pretty cheap price to pay for a big bet that was made.
What would you recommend we do with it then?
Then you just reallocate it. You put it in that Vanguard taxable account and you build a diversified portfolio, and you can have dividend producing stuff in there. You can buy, you know, the Vanguard dividend growth fund, or you can buy an index, a bunch of index funds. But you know what, guys, chances are you're never going to touch most of this money anyway. I mean, ideally what would happen is that let's knock the 800 down, right? Because you're going to pay tax on some of it. So let's say that your cost basis is really cheap. And, you know, the 800, if you sold it, not that you would do this all, but if you just sold it in one fell swoop, you'd have another $500,000. And you add that to the taxable account. And now you build yourself a gorgeous portfolio that in 2 years supplements you guys from 55 to 65 or 70 even. It's just sort of like a no-brainer. You're not going to spend all the money you've accumulated. But having that one stock occupy such a huge percentage of your total invested assets seems really nutty to me.
Yeah, my plan was any like new stock they give me, like my new next bonus, liquidate that right away. But that's just, still got to chip away at the 800.
I feel like I've gone through this so many times with people. I feel like when I used to be a financial planner in the 90s, I had the same problem. I would talk to people, and I used to have a lot of clients at Texas Instruments. And in the 90s, Texas Instruments was killing it. When I tell you killing it, I devoted a big part of my book to this story about these two guys who both worked for Texas Instruments. And one of them took my advice and sold a stock and reallocated and retired early. And the other one got hammered when the tech bubble burst. Nobody was thinking, what happens if? I'm here to tell you what happens if is a very good question to ask yourself. So if you really couldn't care less if your stock position got cut in half and it took a long time for you to recover that, if you really don't care about that, fine. That would drive me insane.
What percentage of our portfolio would you recommend that we leave in that company's stock?
Because I never like to have more than 10% of my invested assets in any one holding. So if you look right now, even if I took your cash out of it, okay, and I said that you have about, let's call it $2 million or so, almost $2.5 million invested, you know, from that, I would say, okay, 10% of that, that's what you can have.
We both know you're right. We've heard it before. It's just, it's hard to swallow.
It's so awesome that you have this money. It's like, why be on the ride? You've already done all this hard work. I mean, the upside is not nearly as interesting as protecting against the downside. I'm going to just do something funny because I happen to know the stock. So I just want to do one thing. Year to date, it's done quite well. But let's see, 5 years, let's compare it to the S&P 500, just for the heck of it, okay? Over the last 5 years, your stock has underperformed the S&P 500, underperformed, okay?
Yeah, it's been underperforming for a long time until a couple of years ago.
Right, but so what are we doing this for, really?
Complacency, just don't like change.
I feel good that you made the call. There's nothing bad that's going to happen to you for real. I mean, even if the stock collapsed on you. But to just put it in perspective, the S&P 500 is up almost 110% over the last 5 years, and your stock is up 70%. So had you simply been in an S&P 500 fund or even a balanced account, if you had had 60% S&P 500 and 40% bonds, you would have outperformed the stock that you're holding. And you know what? I don't know where capital gains rates are going. For all I know, we start to see higher capital gains rates. How are we going to feel then when we had a shot at taking the gain at 15% and not doing it? And you know what else, guys? It's a great time for you to take control of it and to make proactive decisions. And that way you're not guided. And I think that you'll be happy to have done this. I really do. Look, you're in great shape. You've got a ton of money. You've done well. You don't spend a lot of money. I'm not worried for you at all. I just think that in general, if you kind of look at the past, having a bunch of different index funds, and maybe you want to throw some stocks in there for fun, and maybe you want to keep, 10% in this stock, that's fine, for old time's sake. I just don't get nostalgic about securities. I don't get nostalgic about houses. I don't get nostalgic about things. All I care about is how we can use the money that you've worked so hard for, the money that you've saved, and put you in the best position to retire and not think twice about it.
Right.
Agreed.
There's nothing bad that can happen to you guys. And if you really just want to keep swinging for the fences and you want to take a lot of risk, fine. But you don't have to. If you would like to run a scenario by us, if something is up, if you're contemplating a change, all you need to do is take one step forward. You know what that step is? Go to jillandmoney.com and click the Contact Us button. That's it. You don't have to make any other big decision besides that one. And don't forget, Mark and I are both certified financial planners, and we're here for you. We want to help you out. You can subscribe to our show on the Odyssey app or wherever you find your favorite podcast. Try to lift someone up. Change your work, change your wealth, change your life. Thank you for listening, and we'll talk to you tomorrow.
Do you wake up in a cold sweat from your work dreams?
Have a coworker who keeps inviting you to do escape rooms?
Can't get a coworker to agree to do escape rooms?
Or are you just genuinely not sure how to take the next step in your career?
I'm Kate.
And I'm Kim. And together we run Amy Poehler's company, Paper Kite Productions.
We've been friends and colleagues for years, so we know how important it is to feel like someone has your back at work.
And we want to be that for you.
So we're hosting a weekly advice show where we answer all your work-related questions.
Something amazing happened. I got offered my dream job.
How am I supposed to bring this up to him without hurting his feelings? What should I do?
I want to skip the pleasantries without being an asshole.
Careful, money and friends, they don't mix, babes.
They don't. And don't work with your friends, make your friends at work.
All right, I can't believe I'm going to say this, but that was actually $1 million advice.
Whether you need advice or just love to listen to other people's problems, this show is for you.
Listen and follow Million Dollar Advice, an Odyssey podcast, available now for free on the Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.